Welcome to the HCD Podcast Mindset, your ultimate destination for exploring behavioral science, neuromarketing, and consumer research. I'm your host, Michelle Nagella, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today for today's curious conversation to ignite your curiosity and provide you with a wealth of insights. In this captivating episodes, we shift our focus to the frontier of consumer experiences in the digital age. Joining us is HCD's very own Sophia Stafford, recently appointed as Manager of Global Research and Consulting. Together, we'll unravel the mysteries of digital interactions, navigating the intricate landscape of consumer research, and leveraging behavioral and neuroscientific insights to decode the evolving dynamics of digital connectedness. But before we plunge into the depths of this discussion, I urge you to take a moment to like and subscribe to this podcast, ensuring you never miss an episode filled with thought-provoking content. And don't forget to explore the wealth of resources available, including white papers, conference presentations, and much more on our website, www.hcdi.net. So whether you're commuting, working out, or simply unwinding, let's embark on another enlightening journey of knowledge and discovery right here on HCD's Mindset. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to HCD Research's podcast, Mindset. And Sophia and I are going to talk about a really fun topic that, you know, we've kind of seen highlighted a little bit in recent articles, you know, whether it's, you know, more like news articles like Forbes or in some recent publications, academic publications. It's this idea of phygital. And it was a word I had never heard before. Sophia, had you heard it before?
No, I didn't even know how to pronounce it, really.
Well, I'm going with phygital. Mm-hmm. So it is supposed to be this mix of the worlds of things that are physical that you can touch and this digital world, right, that we all live in with our mobile devices and online activities, you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's that bridge between the two. So phygital is like the integration of both physical and digital elements in our experiences. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting concept. I mean, I've met some of my friends that, you know, work in the sensory space in particular, that work in, you know, large CPG companies, have taken on new titles for digitalization.
Yeah, and that's a buzzword right there.
Yeah, right? So like, you know, these people who had, you know, very food science backgrounds or sensory science backgrounds or even neuroscience backgrounds now have these new teams of digitalization. But I actually think phygital might be a better description. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, if you think about it, like, what does digitalization even mean? It is kind of more so that idea of bringing in the digital environment. As we all know, we are constantly on our devices, whether that be an iPhone, a computer, an iPad, a TV. We're surrounded by all types of formats. So it's digitalization is an interesting concept to bring up and kind of generalize that whole process. Whereas phygital, however you want to pronounce it, kind of takes one piece of that digitalization idea and really nails down like, okay, this is what this specific topic is talking about. And so it is that idea of seamlessly blending physical world with digital world. And what does that mean for consumers?
Yeah, and I think it's very important to consider when we're thinking about, you know, consumer products, whether it's clothing or shampoo or makeup or whatever it is. And of course, every one of those large CPG companies that manufactures those products is creating some sort of digital expression of that brand, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, something we've always talked about is the idea of, I'm going to say it, brand harmony. Mm-hmm. You know, so brand harmony being that idea that everything that the consumer touches needs to tell a cohesive story, right? So their actual physical experience with the product needs to match the digital experience that they have. And I think that's kind of another place where phygital can play a role. Those real world elements need to translate to that digital experience.
Right. And I mean, for us, like as researchers in this space, the ultimate question becomes, how do we test that? How do we make sure that every aspect of that consumer experience is aligned? what like new methodologies can we bring in to make sure that we are fully encompassing that physical and digital space? And is it okay that maybe teams at these large CPG companies are so separated that they don't have that communication with each other? How do we kind of make that better so that way that first product that's coming out as that digital prototype is a cohesive experience for the consumer?
Because it is an opportunity, I think, for having a more like enhanced consumer engagement. I mean, you're having people that are purchasing things online through Amazon or through, you know, the brand's own website to be able to purchase their products. And, you know, you don't have that opportunity that you have in store, you know, so even when you have in-store digitalization, you need to consider this digital quality. You know, you got to incorporate the digital technologies, maybe even within physical stores or vice versa.
Yeah, I think that brings up a great point. And one of the examples that the paper actually mentioned was Amazon, Amazon Go.
As we're, you know, kind of talking about, can you say the title of the paper?
Yes, I can. The title of the paper, let me scroll up to the top, is Digital Marketing Through the Lens of Neuroscience and Phenomenology. Phenomenology.
Yeah. An interpretive
kind of a tongue twister.
So this is an article by Matt Johnson and Rob Barlow. It was just published in December of 2023, which is when, you know, you and I started chatting about this, right? That I was like, oh my goodness, what is digital marketing? And it was even more interesting that it had the terms neuroscience and phenomenology in it. So look, we're going to link this paper in the episode description. So, you know, feel free to check it out there. But can you give us some of the highlights of that study?
Yeah. So the study really kind of gave a really good overview of just what this topic is and kind of what it consists of, some of the different perspectives that neuroscientists have and other people in different fields maybe have, or different takes from all the way from, you know, like perceiving the consumer and like testing consumer marketing and things like that from, you know, that first person perspective versus things like predictive processing theory, where you're considering all elements of a consumer's previous experiences and how do those experiences end up influencing their current decisions or decisions that they will be making in the future. So I think it offers a really cool and comprehensive overview of this new field and kind of the different ideas that you can take and perspectives that you can dive a little bit deeper into, you know, to really fully encompass the consumer experience.
And that is a challenge, right? When we think about digging deeper into the consumer experience, when you are in this like sort of awkward space of the person potentially not experiencing the actual physical product, you know, without having like that first person account in that situation, the digital needs to be able to convey maybe even like a texture or, you know, a fragrance or something, find a way to connect with the person on a physical level. So it does seem like the methodology that might be used to measure that level of engagement, that you're having the same harmony, perhaps. What do you think about that? What is a good way to kind of access that?
That's a great question. That is the question. It's the paper actually mentions some evidence that if a participant or a consumer actually has that hands-on physical feeling, they do start to feel more of that ownership over the product and therefore, you know, driving like buying or purchase behavior, things like that. So there is that really gold standard for physical products, but then, okay, how do we incorporate digitalization and digital environments into this? Because of the way that people are nowadays, we have to, you know, stay up on the times and all of the different technologies that are coming out. So it's interesting to think about kind of the different ways that we can assess consumers or implement this type of technology into things like a central location test that are typically extremely controlled and very unnaturalistic in most cases. It's very, you know, no other outside environmental elements. We want to make sure that everything is as controlled as possible to really make sure our results are, you know, accurate and of quality. But this idea of digital really kind of brings in a new perspective of how we can maybe start to incorporate virtual or augmented realities or things like that to blend those lines a little bit without losing that controlled aspect.
So we've tried to incorporate a little bit of that in our work. And I know some other people, you know, we've gone to a lot of conferences, be it Pangborn or SSP or Eurosense, where, you know, they've really tried to investigate virtual experiences, like with using VR headsets or AR setups, or creating, you know, virtual environments, not really virtual environments, but more like 3D environments that like project a context. And there's been some really interesting findings people have had with that, where there do seem to be differences in how we experience things in a virtual environment versus in a very, you know, contrived laboratory CLT environment versus how you would actually experiencing things if you were like using it at home or wherever it is that you use the product. The emotional connections are different. Mm-hmm. The way we actually interact with the products are different. Our liking ratings can even be different. So, you know, I know we've dabbled in some things, like we have like an AR program that we use where we're trying to integrate the consumer's or the participant's own phone into being able to still interact with a product, but then also rate it sort of like in a real-time naturalistic environment. Given what was kind of written in the paper, what do you think could potentially be those differences? Or is it, I guess, maybe even important if we're thinking about things maybe in a more digital way and not trying to think strictly reality or strictly virtual?
Right. That's a great question. The ultimate question is, if we do implement these strategies or new methodologies or ways of working, is it better than traditional methods?
Yeah.
I guess that would be the question. And if we're going to be investing all of this time and money into these digital ways of working, what's going to be the ultimate benefit? And I think that implementing these types of strategies and kind of understanding your consumer from that first person perspective is just, it opens a door to a whole bunch of data and insights that we just hadn't had before. So whether it is better or worse than the traditional methods or the ways of working, still unknown, but I think just uncovering those new ways of thinking about things and thinking about your consumer can really maybe shift perspectives in one way or the other and kind of help in that way.
So I guess in a way, we expect it to be different, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, your digital experience is not going to be exactly the same as your home experience. And I think that, while it's important to recognize, it's maybe one of those things we have to just embrace.
Right. Yeah. Or get left behind.
Because I think everybody has to think about that. But again, I think it is about creating a cohesive messaging, a cohesive experience, you know, from the actual product experience to the in-store experience to the digital version of all of that.
Right.
It's kind of like the metaverse of consumer experience.
Yeah, right. And if like, if that harmony isn't there and that consumer does kind of have that, you know, internal battle with their expectations not being met by what the product is actually delivering on, that can create a problem and honestly work in the opposite direction of maybe how things were going before. So it's important to, when implementing obviously any new technology or trying to do anything kind of outside of the norm, that you're really taking the time and consideration as to what this actually means for your consumer and really thinking about every aspect of it, you know, to make sure that ultimately we're going in the right direction rather than stopping ourselves or going backwards.
So what do you think the differences are between traditional approaches? Because one could say, oh, you could just do, you know, your standard consumer surveys, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, just your qualitative approaches with interviews and focus groups, you know, around, you know, these digital experiences. And I think that's how a lot of, you know, digitalization is done, right? It's just a lot of UX study to make sure that the app is functional or whatever it might be. But, you know, when we're thinking about the digital experiences, do you think that there's an advantage to using new approaches?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the point that you brought up earlier about how the paper does mention neuroscience and psychology, it's really cool to see people start to understand that consumers are more than just people buying things. There's a whole organ dedicated to making decisions, and we are just only scratching the surface of understanding how that happens. And I think when you go beyond traditional, obviously traditional methods and measurements have been around for a long time for a reason, and they do have their strong benefits, especially compared to newer methods that aren't as well tested. But when you take a step back and think about the consumer and how you're evaluating your consumer from the ways that they're actually working on a neurological or psychological level. I think that that can really help uncover some different ways of thinking about just how your consumer is going to be making a decision. And it's difficult because obviously everyone is so different. And that's something that the paper does bring up, is just the diversity in terms of decision-making and thoughts around how we can understand decision-making, that it's difficult for people not in like the neuroscience or psychological fields to really apply that to their everyday lives. Because if the experts are still on the fence about it, how are we supposed to apply it in things like marketing or consumer research?
Yeah, I think behavioral sciences and, you know, decision sciences in particular, you know, just thinking of the theories and concepts that are used to better understand the drivers of behavior, right? To understand people's habits and even predict what they're going to do would be more beneficial in these types of situations where, you know, trying to think about currently how a lot of people are experiencing brands is through something like TikTok, right? Where, you know, you have, you know, sort of like a firsthand experience being described, you know? So the person isn't actually, you know, necessarily feeling a product, but they're watching someone as they're applying makeup on or as they're eating or cooking something. And the person's describing the good things and the bad things. I think a lot of these very higher order psychological concepts and, you know, drivers of our decision-making are going to have like just maybe even a larger role than they would in traditional marketing, you know, like with ads or, you know, in-store packaging. It's gone beyond that a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time you watched a TV commercial on cable television? I can't remember the last time I watched it, but I think that the ways of products being communicated to consumers is definitely evolving. Like, take the whole influencer era. Like, everyone, if you go on TikTok for 5 seconds, you'll be hit by at least 5 different influencers trying to sell you a product. But they're doing it in a way, I think a lot of people have coined it like a FaceTime call. So like they're talking about it in a very casual way, in a very not buttoned up. They're not trying to sell you something particularly. They're just having a normal conversation with you. And it happens to now talk about this product.
Yeah. You have to like earn a bit of trust there. I mean, the brand itself might be trusted in a way. It's a well-known brand. But this is also maybe a really good opportunity for unknown brands to kind of grow. And I think we're kind of seeing that. I think you see that with a lot of cosmetics right now, where a lot of new players are coming in and kind of like taking space, right?
Right. And like you talk about digital and like just this idea of blending digital and physical environments, how many people are going to stores and looking up reviews on TikTok or something as they're searching in the skincare aisle for a product? And I think that when that idea of like a brand, you know, perspective or that like association that you typically have with a brand is kind of going out the window a little bit, because consumers are just being more and more educated on the actual products that they're using and, you know, the goods and the bads. So it's, if your consumers are evolving to understand more and more about the ingredient lists or the actives that are involved, or how is this going to be specifically useful for my skin type or my hair type, as consumers are getting more and more educated through this new way of kind of engaging with a product, how are we going to evolve as a company or a brand name that's very well known to make sure that we're still matching that need and we're not going in the negative space, we're continuing in that positive space?
Maybe just understanding also just how consumers are now interacting with these things. So, you know, are they even going to your website? I don't think people really are. You know, they're searching for reviews on TikTok. They're searching for reviews on Instagram. There are certain people they follow, you know, so even if they go into a Sephora or they go into a Target, you know, they might be on, they have their phone with them and they're going to be looking up reviews. They're going to be looking at prices. You know, they're going to be looking for other bits of information and input that are creating a digital space.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of the digital space, like just the idea in general of brands or companies implementing these new digital ways of working, is very buzzworthy. So like Amazon Go, those stores that you don't even have cashiers, you just walk in, walk out, and like somehow the basket can tell what you're putting in the cart. It's just buzzworthy. Like, so I've seen a lot of TikToks where it's just talking about the experience of going through the store, not even really trying to sell you on that experience. Just, wow, this is a new shiny experience. I don't even have to interact with the cashier. I just put it in my cart and walk out.
Yeah.
So like that in itself, that fidgetal kind of buzziness with it definitely is something to consider as well.
So I have a personal like problem decision-making thing that I'm dealing with right now. And maybe we can walk through this to see how this works in real life. So I haven't bought towels since my wedding. It was on my registry list. So it's been like 12 years, right? And we're in desperate need of towels. And I've been looking at towels for like a couple years now. And I know that this sounds insane saying out loud, but I'm going to say it out loud for the whole world to hear, or all, you know, 20 followers we might have. But like, in any case, towels, like the things you want in towels, you want it to be fluffy and you want it to be the right size that you can feel like wrapped up in the shower. And you don't want it to shed, right?
Yes.
And you want it to actually absorb moisture. Like it needs to be able to soak up water off of you, because the whole point is to dry you off.
Right.
So there's all these things you require that are very physical.
Yes.
Where do you shop for towels? Because Bed Bath & Beyond is gone, right? Like you can't find one to save your life. You know, you could go to Walmart, you can go to Target. They're all kind of the same when you go there. And it's just hard to find what you really want anymore. Yeah. And especially if you want something that's super fluffy, and then you want to hear reviews because you want to know how it actually works after you
wash
it. And so then you go on Amazon and there's like a billion choices, and you know, sure you can trust any of the brands on there, cause they're like unknown brands that are probably made in the middle of the night. so you're like reading all these reviews, but then at the same time, you recognize that there are people who make a living off of paid reviews. And there's viewers out there. I feel like this is like a very fidgetal problem.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, a great problem. And like, the question is like, how do you buy a towel? Like how, no wonder this has been going on for 12 years now. And like, that reminded me of a very similar experience that I've had with candle shopping. Love Bath and Body Works, but I can't go into the store. It's way too overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
There's just too many things going on, too many scents. But I also can't shop online because then I have no idea what it smells like. And I can't just go off the name, because what if I hate it? And it's like a $30 candle. So I don't want to, you know, just keep buying $30 candles that I don't like. So there are a lot of these like sensory heavy products that, because people are shifting more towards online shopping, how do they meet the consumer where they are and make sure that they're delivering on those, that full sensory experience that a story.
So how does, you know, how can Amazon communicate to me? Or, you know, maybe it's Pottery Barn. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, how do they communicate to me, who's trying to search online, before I drive all the way out to their location? Mm-hmm. I don't want to drive there, right?
Yeah.
How do they communicate to me what it's going to be like?
Right.
And
how do you trust it?
Yeah. How do you trust it? And then for you, you know, looking for candles, it's like, well, now Bath and Body Works has to reconsider, I think, in a way, because people aren't going to malls as much. Malls are turning into ghost towns, right? And that's where they traditionally are. So how does a company like Lush or Bath and Body Works like adjust to what is going to be a fidgetal space?
Right, right.
And they rely very heavily on that sensory experience. So there has to be a way to translate that. So I think understanding that sort of non-conscious, implicit sort of experience people have and those needs that they have, and make sure that you're communicating that in your fidgetal space as well.
And it seems really straightforward, right? Like when you think about it, it seems like common sense, like, okay, like someone's shopping for a towel online, obviously they're going to want to know what it feels like, but how does that happen? And like, that really does need to be something that's considered in the product development phase or the website development phase or in all these different aspects of the consumer journey.
Yeah.
It just needs, like, the consumer needs to be taken into account, the needs, the overall experience, the real world application that I think this digital kind of environment really brings to light. You can't really ignore it anymore.
Yeah. So I guess there are some key concepts here that I think need to be taken forward in 2024 being the year of digital communications or experiences. And I think one that we've kind of brought up is the whole idea of authenticity. Like, can you trust, you know, what people are saying in TikTok? Can you trust the experiences as being translatable to real life? The digital, is it reflective of actual physical world? I think it's also about, you know, making sure the importance of that physical aspect being represented in digital experiences. And then that we are probably, I think a final thing is really about, we are probably going to have to rely more on psychology and behavioral sciences and neuroscience to really dive into how the consumer is really experiencing these things.
Right. And I would even add one more with just kind of decision paralysis with this digital environment.
And my towel.
Yeah, your towel. Like, you, there's just so many different ways that we can interact with a company and a product and people who have advocated for the company, people who are being paid to advocate for the company. There's just a million different ways and a million different inputs that we're getting. And it goes back to, like, how do we trust it? I don't know. I don't know which brand I should go with. I don't know what towel I should go with. Do I want fluffy? Do I want soft? Do I want, and then at the end of the day, you're like, I can't think about this anymore. I just need to walk away.
Yeah, and
then
and that's what happens. I've done for 2 years now.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. And here we are. So yeah, it's a really interesting field. And I'm really happy that it's kind of coming to light in this way. And, you know, 2024, I think we've already seen a huge increase in clients and people just in general that we've talked to really want to learn more about how do they make their space more digital? How can they connect easier or better with their consumer? AI, what is AI?
Yeah,
that whole conversation. So I think that we'll be seeing this a lot more this year and for years to come.
I recommend everybody check out this paper. It's linked in the description. You know, so check it out. It's got highlights about how digital marketing focuses on the quality of subjective, first personal consumer experiences. And it points out that very few papers have explored how neuroscience can actually be used in these sort of landscapes. And in the position of the paper is really addressing a gap by introducing a novel perspective on interpretivist neuroscience, which is, I think, kind of our approach of thinking about neuroscience as well. And it proposes practical methodologies for using a neuroscientific model for exploring these digital experiences. And I think that's really important to think going on forward. So, you know, if you'd like to talk more about this, definitely reach out to myself and Sophia on the hcd.net website and join us next time for more of our curious conversations with our next episode of Mindset. So thank you, Sophia, so much for talking with me about this. This was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I cannot find the stop button.